More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, conquering codependency. Are your efforts to help someone making things worse? Are you struggling with setting limits or having your limits respected? Let us help you set better boundaries at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled Conquering Codependency, but we're taking kind of a broad look at that idea. You know, strictly speaking, codependency relates to the way people who are in relationships with someone who has an addiction to alcohol or drugs unintentionally enables that addiction. But broadly speaking, codependency refers to the struggle we all have with knowing the right way to respond when someone we care about is behaving in ways that aren't healthy for them or our relationship with them. You know, and often in those situations, in an attempt to be supportive or understanding or even kind, we end up doing things that perpetuate the problem or even make it worse. So we're asking you to call up and share at 877-573-7825. Are your efforts to be helpful to someone you care about not working? Making things worse? Blowing up in your face? Maybe you feel guilty about setting limits with someone's hurtful behavior toward you. Or maybe you've tried to set those limits, but they don't stop. What's up with that? Let us help you be more effective in all your relationships today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825.
You know, one of the things that you didn't mention but springs to my mind, Greg, is maybe you're just exhausted. You know, so often, and I know I've experienced this in my life because the dynamic of the family that I was raised in was very complicated. And sometimes you're so busy just trying to make it right, trying to heal it, trying to make sure that you're not triggering somebody's behavior, whatever that behavior is, that drains the family or triggers the family in some way. You don't even get a chance to realize you're being codependent, and you just know you're always exhausted by being with those people, or you always feel like you're not enough. No matter what you do, no matter how hard you try, you don't feel like you're enough. Enough to win their love, enough to fix them, enough to change the dynamic, enough to be everything you want to be in the situation, and you're just run dry by it all. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's codependency because it doesn't, as you said, Greg, fit under some of the big picture things of addiction. Certainly, we have a hard enough time, most of us, recognizing codependency when it does fit under a big picture of addiction because it's such a mind-swirling dynamic that we can't look up long enough to say, oh, this is what it is. But if it's subtler, it can be really destructive without us knowing it because it happens in tiny little increments and leaves us just feeling like an exhausted mess of not enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, and you know, it could have something to do with a serious issue or even just, you know, these smaller offenses that happen in our relationships where, you know, somebody steps all over us or is offensive to us in some way and we try to bring it up to them and say, hey, look, that really hurts when you do that. and they blow us off, or they make fun of us, or they say, yes, of course, I'll change, or so sorry, and then they don't, you know, and then we just don't know what to do.
Right.
And at those points, we end up either, you know, unintentionally perpetuating the problem because we don't have effective limits to set, or even sometimes making it worse. You know, so what we really want to talk about today is, you know, when relationships become difficult, either because of the person's behavior that's unhealthy for them, or, you know, the way they're treating us is unhealthy, we want to help you really learn to deal more effectively and gracefully so that you can be the loving, but responsible person that God's calling you to be in all of your relationships. 877-573-7825.
Well, and we often, as people of faith, really want to be those supportive, empathetic, understanding helpers that we feel we're called to in an attempt to live as God has called us to, in an attempt to be more like Jesus. But when the people we're trying to do that with are not able to live in any kind of mutual life with us, any kind of mutual self-donation, that's when it gets difficult for us and, yes, maybe worse for the people we're dealing with. So we really are called by God to be aware and intentional and prayerful about how we are those supportive, understanding people so that we can be doing His work in that relationship, His work for those people, and not let ourselves get taken advantage of or Satan hijack the situation.
Exactly.
In order to run us down and make the situation worse.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825, and tell us, are your efforts to be helpful to someone you care about not working out the way you wish, or even making things worse? Or maybe, you know, your attempts to set limits with somebody that, you know, is hurting you in some way, you know, aren't working, are they being ignored, or you just feel guilty doing it in the first place? 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul did a series of reflections on what it means to be a disciple in the modern world and how we can begin to discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully reflecting on God's design of our body and mind.
And as we look at the theology of the body and codependency as a topic today, on the one hand, we can see that the theology of the body reminds us that it is good for us to be generous, to be loving, to be self-donatively working for the ultimate good of others. But on the other hand, we need to love responsibly, make sure that our efforts work for another person's good and actually produces good fruit. And sometimes we tell ourselves we're being helpful, even when things we're doing are making things worse, or people respond as if we're being intrusive. In those times, it's important to not just keep doing the same thing and expecting a different result. It's also important to not just give up and pat ourselves on the back and say, well, I tried.
So what's the alternative? When our efforts to help don't seem especially helpful, I think we need to step back, pray, and be receptive to the ways that God might like us to be loving instead of just doing the things we've always done. You know, we need to remember that the point in being helpful isn't just making ourselves feel, well, at least I've done something. We need to make sure that the help we provide really is producing some kind of positive change. And if not, we need to be open to what God might want us to do instead, including setting boundaries or limits. You know, when we're struggling to know how to help other people, a good prayer is, Lord, teach me how to respond to this person in a way that will bring out the best in them. That puts us in a receptive place where we're willing to learn what God wants to bring out in us, so that we can bring out the best in others. But let us help you do that today on More to Life. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. If your efforts to help someone you care about aren't working or making things worse, if you've tried to set boundaries or limits with somebody who's behaving in a hurtful way toward you, but it's just not working out and you don't know what to do, let us help you be more effective in all of your relationships. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we thank you for this opportunity to spend this time with you and everyone tuning in. And Lord, we bring to you all those difficult relationships with people we care about who are doing things that are hurtful to them, that are not in their best interests, that are hurtful to us. And Lord, we want to be understanding and we want to be patient and we want to bear wrongs patiently and forgive willingly. But sometimes doing those things seem to make things worse, and we're not sure how to respond in those situations. And so we bring to you those people and those circumstances, and Lord, we ask you to teach us how to respond to those people in ways that would bring out the best in them, whether that means being more understanding or setting those limits. Help us to remember to choose to do the things that work for their ultimate good, so that in every circumstance we can work that your will would be done and be the people that you created us to be. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Conquering Codependency, but we're taking a broad view of that topic. The idea that, you know, sometimes we don't know what to do when we're in a relationship with someone who is making choices that we feel aren't in their best interest, or maybe even are hurtful to us or our relationship. And the things we've tried to do either aren't working or making things worse. What do you do? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Marie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Colorado.
Hi, Marie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, Greg and Lisa. Can you hear me?
I can. Thank you so much for calling today. What can we help you with?
So I've had a troubled 13-year-long marriage. In February of last year, 2021, I found out my husband had been doing online poker for practically the entirety of our marriage. I forgave him, saying that amends would have to be made. Things like going forward, phone in essential place, marriage counseling, individual counseling, Gamblers Anonymous, etc. And he only committed to the Gamblers Anonymous. And we started attending repeat sessions. These were online sessions of Retrovive, which I know is not a substitution for marriage counseling, but we had done back in 2016. Well, down the months of last year's angry behavior escalated. And in late of last year, after he threw something at me, I left my house to a relative for 2 months. Unfortunately, after 2 months, when I returned, we had another explosion after he saw that I went into his phone. And he left saying he didn't need me snooping into his business and I should never have to look into his phone. He told our daughter, 25-year-old, that your mom knows how to get in touch with me if she needs to, and that he blocked me. He emailed me also a week later saying, you know, I created the scene and that he's
not. So you're saying he left you at that point? He left the house at that point? Or what?
Yeah, he left the house taking most of his stuff. Now, he's been back in the last 2.5 months picking up sporadically things, and I leave when he's here because I kept on saying, well, you know, are we going to do the counseling? Or I know he has started individual counseling, that I do know. But he never owned up to throwing the thing at me. As he told me, he said, but it missed you. And he had been throwing things after he stopped gambling. His behavior just escalated really badly with anger. We don't know where he's living. Strangely, he continues to pay the bill. He emailed me on Easter Monday with a list of 12 reasons.
So this is a very complicated situation. Let me just add, there are lots of different ways we can go with this. What specifically can we do for you today? Do you have a particular question that
so
we can
So lately, help? I've just been getting these emails and texts, which I was blocked on, and they're just kind of business-like notifications of, and there's this increased level every day now. He's sending me stuff like, oh, these bills are coming in, or he sends me pictures of the upcoming mail, or how his mother's surgery went, which mm-hmm. I've asked her separate. She lives in another state, you know, I've dealt with her. But I just didn't want to spin into this craziness because it feels like, again, he's sucking me in, and I'm seeing a therapist who's wondering why I haven't called a lawyer yet and is working with me on codependency issues. Mm-hmm. So I'm torn, you know, if this marriage is salvageable, how to manage this increase, sudden increase in communication on his part. But
yeah, well, let's talk about that. So look, I mean, obviously I'm biased in favor of trying to make marriages work if we can make them work, right? You know, that's important. But that, you know, making a marriage work is dependent upon the idea that we can work for each other's ultimate good, that you know, when we enter into marriage, God is asking us to help each other become everything he created us to be in this life, as well as get each other to heaven in the next. And so, you know, that means that at all times, the most important thing is working for your mate's good. So that includes, in this situation, setting those boundaries that make him capable of having a healthy relationship with you, not just holding on to the relationship for the sake of holding on to the relationship of any kind, even if it's a poisonous one, but holding on to the relationship in a way that says, okay, look, this is how close I can be with you when you're this way, but if you want to be any closer, then we would need to address this concern first. Right. So as he's reaching out to you more, it's not that you say, oh, well, look, you know, he's sending me more texts. He's being more friendly. Oh, I guess maybe, you know, now that he's wanting to have more of a relationship, I have to give that to him. Otherwise, I'm being bad. What you need to say is, you know, I'm glad that you are reaching out more. But in order for us to have a closer relationship, I would need to see this from you. That's not putting up boundaries to the relationship, to the marriage. What that's saying is, I'm inviting you as a godly woman, as a prophetic you know, Christian person, I'm calling you to a healthier way of living with me. And if you want that commitment from me, then this is what I need you to be able to do with me so we can create that relationship together. Because otherwise what ends up happening is you repeat this cycle where you feel guilty, so you let him back into your heart, and then neither of you has any new skills or ways to relate in a healthier way with each other or cooperate with God's grace, so the whole thing blows back up again. And that's exactly what Satan wants. He wants you to be in this cycle where you keep connecting, it goes horribly, so you go away, and then that ultimately destroys the marriage, right? So you're not in a place where you can say whether the relationship can work or not. You have to be in a place where you're strong enough to say, this is how I can relate to you safely with the way you are right now. And if you reach out to me and seem to want a healthier relationship or better, then this is what I would need to see from you in order to be willing to go there with you. Otherwise, I have to keep you at a certain distance. And that's what you want to be working on with your therapist right now. Not so much deciding, you know, do I call the lawyer yet or not? It's how do I become strong enough to set those boundaries? Because you know what? Even if you got divorced, you'd still have to learn how to set these boundaries, right? Because we talked to plenty of people who are divorced from their spouses who aren't any better at setting those boundaries when it comes to, you know, raising the kids or handling the financial issues or any of that other stuff. So this is going to be a thing, whatever happens to the relationship. It needs to be a healthier relationship, and that's only going to come from you learning how to say, okay, look, you know, I feel safe with you at this level, but not at that level, and in order to get to that level, we need to do X, Y, or Z to get there. And then you leave the choice to him at that point. That's just exactly what Jesus did with the rich young man. When the rich young man came to him and said, Lord, you know, I follow all the commandments. What else do I do? And Jesus said, you know, sell all the you have, give it to the money to the poor and come follow me. And the man went away sad, and Jesus let him go. Now, he was sad about it. And if the guy came back the next day and said, you know what, I sold it all and I want to follow you, Jesus would have welcomed him. But my point in this is, it's not a problem. There's nothing wrong with saying, if you want a deeper relationship with me, this is what I would need from you. Because that's exactly what our Lord did. And that's exactly what our Lord does every day as he calls us into deeper conversion and deeper communion with him. Thank you for the call, Marie. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. With that, we have to go to break. But when we come back, we are continuing to take your calls about these unhealthy relationships where we try to set limits and they don't work. We try to be helpful and it blows things up. How can we be more effective in all of those relationships? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Tim Muldoon. He'll offer some insights on how our faith can help us handle these difficult relationships more effectively. Stick around.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu. This program underwritten by...
A battle is raging in America for the plight of the unborn. Now is the time to pray and to get involved. Do not miss the new award-winning movie, The Matter of Life. The Matter of Life has been hailed as the best film ever produced concerning the unborn and can be seen for two nights only in a theater near you. Visit fathomevents.com now to reserve your tickets for May 16th or May 17th. That's fathomevents.com. FATHOM events.com. It's a matter of life.
Looking for peace? Longing for joy? God is calling you to know and love Jesus Christ like never before and to help others do the same. God is calling you to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world, to work for the new evangelization. Here's your opportunity. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, order the free digital training and facilitator manual, LordTeachMeToPray.com. Click on the red button now. God is calling you. Underwritten by Lord Teach Me to Pray.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about how to deal effectively with those difficult relationships where people are engaged in, you know, things that maybe are not in their best interest, or they're doing things that are hurtful to the relationship. How do we engage effectively? 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Tim Muldoon. He is a teacher in the philosophy department at Boston College. He and his wife, Sue, are the authors of several books, including his book, Against the Grain. Tim, welcome to More to Life.
Great to be back with you.
So let's talk a little bit about this whole idea of what love really means. I think that many of us want to be loving to people who are, you know, doing hurtful things to themselves or a relationship, but we don't necessarily always know what love really means.
Yeah, and I think the main culprit is our sense, and I think it's, you know, even for those of us who are, you know, take our faith seriously, we tend to conflate love and niceness. So the idea being that, you know, you want to take the kind of path of least resistance. You want to be nice to people. I'm thinking here as I say this about a book by a colleague. He titled it God is Not Nice. And I think really trying to push back against this idea that it means always kind of seeking what is the most obvious way to appease the other person. And what we know really, I think, from our faith tradition is that love is very often demanding. It's difficult. It's hard. It's God calling us to sometimes make hard choices. And so, you know, leaning into really asking God in prayer, you know, what does love demand? You know, what, I mean, even your invocation of Jesus' example means that it's not always taking the path of least resistance.
You know, as you're talking, I'm reminded, I think, of Pope Benedict in With a Deus Caritas Est, where he talks about the difference between love and sentiment. You know, the idea that love, you know, sentiment is about, you know, like you said, to the path of least resistance, it's about feeling, where love is really about the commitment to work for the good of the other person, even when that's hard or challenging or difficult.
Yeah, that's a great point that you make in a very challenging encyclical, and you're certainly right about that. And I think people know this on some deep level, that when we love, for example, our children, it means that we're sometimes pushing them to do something that they're not yet doing, or to, you know, correct something that they're doing badly. Love is sometimes, you know, that which has a hard edge, and it summons something from us. But again, it's I think if we see this in the light of prayer, it's that really, if God has created us for some goodness, it doesn't mean that there are no obstacles. And sometimes we need to overcome those obstacles with courage and even, you know, with, I mean, we know the term tough love. And I think that gets closer to this idea that sometimes it requires setting boundaries or being very clear in communication. And that's not easy, but it's certainly something that we want to encourage each other in.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not about being mean, it's not about lecturing, it's not about shaming people, but what it is about, I think, having a clear sense of what being healthy and appropriate really means, and then using, you know, being intentional about whether we need to encourage that person to get to that place, or, you know, maybe give them a little kick in the butt to get to that place, but whatever
yeah,
it is, that's the goal, right?
I think you're right. And during this Easter season, I think we can be reminded of this because we're reading in the Sunday readings from the book of Acts, which, you know, shows that there are even tensions within the early Christian community. And even in Paul's letters, we see this, that there are times when there are hard decisions that need to be made and even conflicts within the community of faith. That, you know, I'm thinking specifically of how Peter and Paul even differed on the question of, you know, what the church ought to be, you know, for the Gentiles or for Jews only. And they had to really confront a very hard question and work that out. So one way to think about love then is that it is a willingness to work out what is hard, not to just, you know, throw our weight around and demand things of others or to fold, but to work towards the right solution.
Tim, I want to thank you again for joining us today. Tim is the author of several books, including Against the Grain, which is a book about discernment, touching on this topic today. Check it out, Against the Grain. Tim, again, thank you to you for joining us today on More to Life. We're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Let us help you be more effective in all of your relationships. When More to Life continues after the break.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, weekdays on Ave Maria Radio.
Americans are curious about the religious devotion of others and are willing to discuss the topic, but most say they rarely have conversations about faith with their Christian friends. A study by Lifeway Research finds Americans are widely receptive to spiritual conversations in a variety of settings. Now, perhaps more than ever, people are open to conversations about faith, yet few Christians actually take the opportunity to engage in personal evangelism. The reason conversations are not happening about the Christian faith is that Christians are not bringing it up. And I think this is key. Now, this person is not saying we shouldn't be concerned about religious liberty in the sense of, yes, there is great persecution out there. But at the end of the day, it is about the fact that we're not doing enough talking about Jesus.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tamio, weekday mornings from 8 to 10 on Ave Maria Radio and AveMariaRadio.net. Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from an automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000. And they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One of the biggest challenges facing newly married couples is when you have your first or your next baby. Here are three steps to help you work out this question together. Step one, ask yourself, what does God want? God has a plan for your family, and the closer you follow God's will, the happier you'll be. Pray about it as a couple, consistently and openly. Step two, practice what the church calls responsible parenthood. Openness to life doesn't mean just openness to conception. It also means meeting the true needs of the children you have. Ask God if you have the emotional, relational, and temporal resources to raise another child happily in His love. And step three, always stay open to what God wants to give. Even if you've discerned that this isn't the time for a baby, avoid the attitude of, we're done. fertility is a gift. Don't block God's gifts with artificial means. For more guidance on Catholic family planning, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today we are talking about dealing with those relationships with people who are either doing unhealthy things in their lives or being hurtful to us in those relationships. What do you do when your attempts to be helpful make things worse or blow up in your face, or your attempts to set limits don't work? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Before we take our next call, I wanted to make you aware of a brand new resource that's coming. It's not yet released, but it's available to learn more about it. If you go to CatholicHOM.com, it stands for Households on Mission, and the site is still under construction, but there's a landing page there where you can sign up for more information. It's a great resource for Catholic families to help you experience Christ more meaningfully in your home and create a household on mission to love like Christ. If you would like to have a stronger, more loving, more connected, more generous family life, go to CatholicHOM.com and learn more about how you can become a Catholic household on mission. You can also start participating in the conversations that we're already hosting on Facebook if you search for Catholic HOM Family Discipleship. We'd love to see you there. With that, we are taking your calls right now about having healthier relationships with all the people in your life. Give us a call and let's talk about how to be more effective. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Brad, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Arizona.
Hi, Brad. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Thank you very much. First of all, thanks for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener and really find your program to be thoughtful and thought-provoking, so thank you for all the work.
How kind.
That you do.
Thank you so much.
So the biggest challenge that we have in our extended family life right now has been trying to help our brother, who's an alcoholic, work through that battle. That it's been a long 4-year battle. Fortunately, right now we're in a good spot. He's about 60 days sober. We've reached that point before through programs and so forth. But one of the things that I'm struggling with is how to help and when to know, how to push to sort of some of the more returning to some of the more responsible adult behaviors, things like work, holding a steady job, being a provider that he should be. We've been fortunate and we've been able to help in a lot of those ways, but right now my parents are paying all of the paying for his sober living, paying for all his car payment, all of his bills. He has a job lined up in a month, but the month is a month away, and I suggested perhaps he could work at my house and I'd pay him some things to do. Things we need around the house, because I thought, okay, he could at least earn some money so that he's not living off mom and dad. And sometimes I feel like mom and dad are being a little bit abused.
Have you talked to him about that at all?
Retirement.
What kind of reaction do you get when you float that to him?
I said that to him and he says, okay, well, sure, I'll call you. And then, he doesn't, right? He won't call, or, it'll go by several days. And so, at times in the past, I've gotten forceful about things like this. I've turned to like a lecture or, something like, look, you got to step up, man. You can't leave mom and dad like this, but other times I haven't. And, I'm cautious about, I don't want to shame, right?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this. I mean, I think I understand what you're saying here.
Yeah, so. And this is really the absolute, when you think of codependency, this is where we get tied up in knots, right? Where you want to help somebody, you're seeing a sliver of that they might be doing something to improve. So you want to keep it going, but at the same time, people are being taken advantage of harmed in some way, and you're wondering if you're possibly harming them by letting it keep going, even though there's been a tiny step in the right direction.
Yeah, so just to put some context in this, I mean, how do you know, generally speaking, the right way to approach this? I mean, you want to look and ask, well, when you're trying to help somebody, right, we always want to be ready to help with everything that we can, but we also want to make sure that we're not working harder on somebody else's problems than they are, because that's when codependency starts to happen. As soon as we do that, as soon as we start working harder on their problems than they are, it becomes our problem. They kind of offload it onto us. And instead of doing what they need to do to get healthier and get stronger, they just sort of sit back and let us take care of them. And it's okay to help if the helping that person gives them that boost, if helping that person kind of helps them get through a rough period. But then we see them starting to step up again, as you're saying. So what do you do in a case like this? I think it's absolutely appropriate for you to say, you know what, I would like him to come over to my house and do some work, and I'll pay him for that time. But I wouldn't leave it to him. I wouldn't say, you know, when he says, I'll give you a call in a couple of days. That's him putting you off. I would sit down with him then and say, so when are we going to do this? Let's get it on the calendar now. And then that time I would go over and get him. Right.
If he can't come himself, or he needs to be, but you give him that litmus test of, are you serious? Let's see if you're serious. That does a couple of things. One, it's that litmus test. Two, it also allows you then to say, okay, he's really trying. He showed up. We can take another little step in that right direction. Maybe mom and dad can keep this going for the month until he's working. Or you're able to go to your parents and say, didn't show up. So he might be dry at the moment, but he's not actively participating
in
life
sober.
The way he needs to. Exactly.
Yeah, there's a difference between being sober and being a dry drunk, right? A dry drunk is somebody who isn't drinking right now, but is continuing to engage in unhealthy, you know, irresponsible, addictive kind of behaviors. Somebody who's sober is actually working to become healthier. Right. So by asking him to come over and do some work for you, you're actually asking him to work on his sobriety by learning how to be healthier. That said, he's not responsible enough and doesn't have enough of what's called industry, that drive to do things. He doesn't have enough of that for you to be able to trust him to call you and make a plan for following through. He's used to coasting, and he's got a strong temptation to want to just coast. So, you know, you want to give him the benefit of the doubt by saying, you know, I see you're working hard on the sobriety. I'd like to give you a chance to be able to start contributing a little bit more. When can you come over and do this job that I need you to do? I'll pay you X for it. He says, I'm happy to do that. I'll give you a call in a couple of days. It's like, no, you know what? Let's just set it up now, because I want to be able to have a plan, and I know that, you know, based on our past history, you don't end up following up. So I don't want to put you in that position. Let's just set it up now. Okay, I'll come get you at thus and such a time on this and such a day, and I really appreciate your help. The thing that you don't want to do is try to lecture him or shame him in any way, or kind of, you know, oh, I can't believe you're doing this to mom and dad. That doesn't work. And then actually it actually plays into the addiction, because what it does is he walks away from that feeling guilty and then says, I'm just a loser. I can't do anything right. You know what? I better have a drink. Right. And that's what so that's where some of the codependent stuff comes in. We think that we're being effective by talking to the person and using even more words than we used the last time. That never works. What you want to do is create a structure that leads to his success. So even if he drags his feet a little bit or rolls his eyes a little bit, that's fine. You say, no, look, let's just get it on the schedule and I'll come get you and we'll make it work. And then when he succeeds at that, you know, you're able to say, you know, I really appreciate you being here. This was a great job. I really see how hard you're working on this. It means a lot to me. Thank you. You're able to encourage and support him by creating a structure that leads to his health. And then you're able to, you know, kind of praise him for that so that he feels like he succeeded at something, and then success can build on success. But if we just sort of like try to shame him into wanting to be healthier, that just ends up leading him back to the bottle. So, Brad, that's what I would suggest that you want to take as a next step. We do talk more about this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's really a book on how do you set boundaries in ways that actually lead to people wanting to be healthier themselves or be in healthy relationship with you. And again, the title, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Thanks so much for the call. And as we head out to break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Romans 12, verse 12.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
The reason I picked this scripture today is because we forget a really important thing, which is that we, none of us, know how to love the way God wants us to. We hear that being a Christian is about being a loving person, but our point of reference for that is often a very worldly point of reference.
Mm.
We try to glue a worldly definition of love onto a call to Christian discipleship. And the worldly definition of love says that we should enable people, or we should just put up with people,
or we should be super nice, or
just go along to get along. Whereas the Christian call to love is really all about working for the ultimate good of everyone. And often, usually, that means being supportive and being kind and being forgiving and understanding. But sometimes it also means admonishing the sinner, setting boundaries and limits, and challenging people in with real limits, not just with words, but with real limits that say, look, you're better than this. And so St. Paul in Romans is reminding us to not be conformed to worldly ideas of love, but rather to be transformed by the renewal of our mind, so that by really testing each situation and saying, okay, Lord, how do you want me to respond to this person now so that I can bring out the best in them? That's how we learn to be disciples. That's how we learn what's good and acceptable and perfect in God's mind. Romans 12:12. Well, we're taking your calls about those challenging relationships where, you know, our efforts to try to help someone aren't working or even making things worse, or our efforts to set boundaries with someone who's behaving in a hurtful way toward us either blow up in our face or aren't heard at all. What do you do? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Now is a great time to learn about CMF Curo as a pro-life Catholic healthcare option for your family. You can join anytime throughout the year. Plus, you'll experience an authentic Catholic community that cares about your health, spirit, mind, and body. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com to learn more about CMF Curo.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. SetonHome.org.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about those difficult relationships where our efforts to be helpful to someone we care about either aren't working or making things worse, or when we struggle to set limits with somebody's hurtful behavior. What do you do? Let us help you be more effective in all your relationships. The number is 877-573-7825.
Let's talk with our next caller, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Good morning. So I've kind of struggled with my relationship with my dad for, well, probably since I was a teenager, honestly.
Okay.
But it's just, he tends to be very, almost like he's looking for something to be offended by. And then I think I probably tend to react in the same way. I'm an only child. My husband and I have four kids. And just even this past weekend at my daughter's softball game, she's 10, and he was making comments about the girl who was pitching. And I whispered, you know, hey, you can't say things like that. And he got all offended and yelled at me that I need to stop trying to control his life and telling him what to do. And, I mean, even the girl who was pitching, her grandma came over and said, that's my granddaughter, and she's doing the best that she can. And that was just...
And what was his reaction to being called out by somebody he didn't know?
Honestly, at that point, I was so upset and embarrassed. I don't recall what his reaction was.
Okay. So where do things stand now?
And to complicate things, my oldest daughter, it's her high school graduation this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So
your graduation's coming up. This is such an important event for you, for your child, for the whole family. And you're really, I hear in your voice that you're very concerned that he's going to be combative and possibly mar the whole thing in some ways. Is that what I'm hearing?
Right. And I just...
So what are you asking of us?
Well, I guess for some suggestions on, you know, I'm willing to forgive because, I mean, we all make mistakes, but this is just one in a long line of...
Yeah, this isn't a mistake. This is a character flaw.
I mean, you started this by saying, it's sort of been my whole life.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm glad you said that because, of course, you know, when you're talking about a parent of an adult child, you normally, I would be asking questions about, is this a new behavior? Could there be cognitive problems? Is there a new stressor? But you said it from the very second you called, which is, this is who Dad's been, and it's always been a problem. And I think when we've put up with something our whole lives and suddenly our own children are involved, our own children are having their lives hurt by a person that we've put up with our whole lives, suddenly we see it with fresh eyes, and it becomes a whole lot less tolerable.
Let me ask you, where's your mom in this?
Usually trying to balance between the two of us.
She's trying to be peacemaker in an unhealthy way.
If she does say something to him, he says, there, you're just taking her side again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, all right. So here's my suggestion to you. Before I do that, I'm sort of picking up on an implicit question. Should you not let your dad come to the graduation?
Is that so terrifying that you would never even ask that question?
Probably the second. I feel a lot of, I'm sure, self-induced pressure to include them on anything because I am an only child.
And you've been bullied into that pressure your whole life. Let's call this what it is. Whenever anybody says anything to Dad that makes him feel like anything but perfect, he reacts in a way that shames the people around him, including you. And so now you're terrified of that shame getting worse or making it more difficult for Mom.
Or losing his love.
Or losing his love, which you've barely been able to scratch the surface of all these years because of this repeated behavior. So back to the question of, in your call today, what's the question you want answered most desperately here with this graduation coming up? What would you need from us?
I would like to know how to go forward. I really want to find a way to at least let him know I would like him to be here. I would like him to be involved in in my kids' activities and in my kids' lives. But he just can't behave this way. And it's not just toward me, as my two teenagers are older. It gets directed toward them some now,
sure.
too. He's very good with the younger ones. Mm-hmm. It's anyone who might express an opinion different from his.
Sure. As soon as a person starts developing their own ego, ego in a healthy way, not in a like selfish way, then he doesn't know how to deal with them. So here's what I'm going to throw out a couple of principles here and then try to give you some specifics. First of all, you mentioned you try to forgive him, and that's wonderful, but let's talk about what forgiveness is and isn't. All right. So forgiveness does not mean pretending that everything's okay. Even the catechism says that it's not within our power to not feel or forget an offense. It does go on to say that through intercession, we can transform that, we can transform how we feel about it, but we will always remember the offense, and we'll always be hurt by that thing, and that's natural. Forgiveness doesn't mean pretending it's all okay or letting the person off the hook. Forgiveness means I don't want to hurt you for having hurt me. Right, that it's surrendering your desire to hurt the other person for having hurt you. Once you've done that, you've forgiven them. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're reconciled to them. To be reconciled to somebody means that they want to heal the damage that their behavior did to the relationship. And so it's possible to forgive somebody but not be reconciled to them, because I don't want to hurt you or have bad things happen to you, but I also can't be around you because I can't trust you not to do that thing again. So that's... Second point is working for the good of the other person means making sure that you're not putting them in positions where they can't handle themselves, right? So it's actually not loving to keep setting somebody else up to fail by saying, okay, I know that you can't control yourself in this situation, but I'm going to let you be here anyway. That's actually not working for their good. It's setting them up to fail, which leads to my third point about honoring your father and mother. You know, we kind of hear this honor your father and mother thing, and we think that means we have to indulge our parents, whatever they want to do.
Especially when we've been in that cycle that your father is saying, to honor me means to never, ever question me in any way, shape, or form.
But he did not bring honor on himself in the way he behaved at your daughter's softball game. He shamed himself. He brought shame on the family. He brought shame on himself. And honoring him means not putting him in that position again, and saying, you know, I know that my dad can't handle himself in these kinds of situations, so I'm not going to do that to him, even if he doesn't like it. I'm going to prevent him from being in situations where he will not behave in an honorable way. So, as difficult as this is, my suggestion to you would be to say to your father, look, I love you with all my heart, but I can't have you be in places where you can't control your reactions. So, you do really well with the little kids. When I'm around, I'm happy to have you come around and be with them in these situations. Or you look at your whole relationship and say, where does Dad behave well? I'm going to limit our relationship to that, where I can have interactions with my father and know that I can come away from that feeling pretty good about it. But in those situations where I interact with my dad and I have to spend the rest of the day putting myself back together again, those aren't safe situations for me or for him. I'm not going to put him in that situation. I'm not going to put myself through it. So you say to your dad, look, Dad, here's where we can relate now, based on who you are. This is where you do well, we do well with each other, and I would love for you to be part of my life in these areas. But here's where you don't do well. And unless you get some help to learn how to be better at that, you can't be in these situations, because I don't want to put you through that, and I can't put myself through it anymore. Now, of course, he'll hit the roof. He'll go crazy at that point. But you have to hold that line, because doing anything else is not working for his good. In fact, it's setting him up to fail. And it's setting you up to resent him and hate him, ultimately. And that's not what God wants, right? So being in a position where you can be the gatekeeper that says, Dad, I know that you can handle yourself here, and I want you to be part of my life in those ways. But I know you can't handle yourself there unless you get some special help. So I'm not going to put you in a position of failing. And wrecking our relationship or damaging your relationship with your grandchildren, I'm not going to do that to you. So I'm sorry that's going to hurt your feelings, but that's the way it's going to have to be for now.
And the final point on this, because I know you're cringing hearing this from Greg, but do this, if not for the love of yourself, for the love of your children and your relationship with them. Because if you constantly let this go on, they're going to see you as weak. They're going to begin to challenge you and everything you're saying to them. They're going to begin to distance themselves in their relationship with you because they feel hurt by the fact that you weren't strong enough to do these kinds of things. Look at that as your motivation.
But, you know, when we can use our faith to say, you know what, God Amen. Wants better for us. He wants better for our relationship. He loves us and wants us to accept that better love from others. Then that's a powerful witness to our kids that says our faith leads to healthier relationships and helps us be stronger people. And that's a powerful way to evangelize our kids, too. So pray about all of that. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us again. And listeners, if you're struggling in your relationships, reach out for help at CatholicCounselors.com to check out the resources we mentioned, including the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your life and relationships. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.